Every day is the schus refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, shtav refuah shleima b'korev, b'sorech shol chayla Yisrael. We started learning yesterday that on the day of Matan Torah, on Vov Sivan, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Aseres HaDibros. He said two of them loud, and he gave the other eight. You pressed five already. Fine. So does that mean that I've ruined it?
I'll do it again. No.
Sorry.
That's fine.
If I press five again, does that stop?
No, I pressed instead of you.
I thought you said that when. Okay, fine. You do it all, and I won't touch it. Yeah. So that's what we learned yesterday. So when did Moshe Rabbeinu come down with the Luchos? At the end of the first 40 days, on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned himself from his own stone, sapphire, I don't know exactly what it was, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the two Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain, he saw the Egel Azov, and he smashed the Luchos. He must have picked up all the pieces, because we speak about afterwards, Shivrei Luchos, Munochim Ba'orin. So he must have had a carrier bag with him. Yeah, and he kept all the pieces of the Shivrei Luchos. Okay, well, obviously this was something that had been given to him from the Ribbono Shel'Olam directly, and even though he smashed it, and nevertheless he knew to preserve it. Okay, then on the next day he took the Egel Azov, he ground it up, he mixed it with water, and he gave it to all the Bnei Yisrael to drink. Yeah, and those people who had had Asro, and who had been Oved Avodah Zarah in front of two Edim, were executed by the Levium, and though that Kishloishes Alfeish, it says approximately 3,000, and the water that they drank was boidek like a soito, like a soito. The waters that they drank was boidek that those people who had been Oved Avodah Zarah, but they didn't fulfill the conditions of having had Asro in front of two Edim, and having done it in front of two Edim, and two Edim having given witness that they did Avodah Zarah. So there, it says that their stomachs blew up as well, and they died as a result of drinking. So that was the 18th. On the 19th of Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to he said, I will go up again to the mountain, Ulay achapro ba'ad chataschem. Maybe I'll be able to dumb to the Ribbono Shel'Olam that the Ribbono Shel'Olam will save Klal Yisrael, because the Ribbono Shel'Olam clearly was very, very displeased. And Moshe Rabbeinu was there for 40 days and 40 nights. At the end of the 40 days and the 40 nights, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Psol lecho shnei luchos avonim korishayim. Now I want you to go down now from the mountain, and psol lecho, you now will make, you will take stone, and you will fashion the two, ve'echtoi v'ala luchos, and I will then write on the luchos that you bring back up to me, I will write on them the Aseres HaDibros.
Psol means to write.
Psol lecho means to fashion, to shape. To chisel. Loisasa lecho pesel. Right? What's that mean? You shouldn't make an idol. Yeah?
Psol. Yeah.
The psol is to create. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, it says beforeish, psol lecho, shnei luchos avonim korishoinim. No, I'll do the writing, you do the cutting, and I'll do the writings of the Ribbono Shel'Olam. So Moshe Rabbeinu went down on Choftes, on Lamed Av, I think it must have been the last day of Chodesh Av. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and said,
The stick is in the kitchen.
In the kitchen, okay. So when he comes back from the kitchen, which he is now, yeah. So B'leida, tomorrow we'll speak about what happened on Rosh Chodesh El. Okay, we're coming up now to, we're looking at Chodesh Elul, we're looking at the ideas of Chodesh Elul, Slichas, and Shtkia Shofar. So tomorrow, B'leida, we'll speak about what actually happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul itself.
Started at the Turway, Northwest London, Monday, Vov Elul, 9th of September, Rabbi David Lichtig, Shlita, Berkas HaMitzvot. This week's Turway was sponsored by the Chodesh of Zevi Freelander, Aya, and the Shiva Tan. The tikkun which will take place tomorrow in Eretz Hashem. Yirotzen shivu ba'as nevam v'shalom 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 v'shalom.
Morning.
Morning.
It's good to be back, especially in a brand new Beit HaMidrash, first time here. Very exciting. Thank you for putting this together again. Okay, we're going to address the topic this morning of Brachos HaMitzvos, and maybe Brachos in general as well. We know that Brachos occupy a very central part of our everyday lives. Chazal tell us we should try and make 100 Brachos every day. And with our Shemoneh Esras and our Brachos HaShachar and our meals, you know, generally we don't struggle at all to find those 100 brachas, which means that out of all these many brachas that we're making, let's try and get a little bit of an understanding what they represent and the chiyuvim, mainly the obligations that are driving them. So broadly speaking, all the brachas that we make fall under three general categories. We've got the category of Brachos HaMitzvos, which is the brachas that we make before performing any kind of mitzvah. So before we blow the shofar, before we shake lulav, before we put on tefillin, make a bracha, shekhe deshonu b'mitzvosa v'tzivonu, to perform that mitzvah. And that's considered Brachos HaMitzvos, the bracha that you make before doing a mitzvah. The second category is Brachos HaNenin. These are brachas that you make before partaking or engaging in any kind of physical benefit in this world. So, you know, the simple examples are before one eats, before one drinks, not to mention the reyach as well, the brachas that we make on fragrances. Also, any physical benefit that we're partaking of in the world, we make a bracha before that. And the last category is Brachos Hodah, Brachos HaShvach. And these are also benefits, but it's not physical. Whenever there's a non-physical experience, so to speak, then a Brachos Hodah and Brachos HaShvach is made. Some examples that we're going to be familiar with are seeing a rainbow, seeing an ocean, etc. Some very good examples about Brachos HaShvach also in Brachos HaShvach in the morning when we talk about being able to walk, being able to see, Matir Asur, and these also fall under the category of Brachos Hodah and Brachos HaShvach. So those are the three main categories of brachas that we deal with on a daily basis. And for the most part, brachas are created and orchestrated by Chazal and are therefore midrabanon. There are a couple of exceptions when it comes to brachas. So there's a Gemara in brachas, Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, which says, Amar Rav Yehuda, how do we know that Brachos HaMazon is Doraisa? You know, Brachos HaMazon is obviously a bracha. So that seems to be one of the unique brachas that are min haTorah. Shenema v'chalta v'svata v'irachta, some first pasuk, v'chalta v'svata v'irachta. Someone who eats, obligated to v'irachta at the end, so Brachos HaMazon is clearly a Doraisa. Then the Gemara continues, Minan Brachos HaTorah min haTorah. How do you know that Brachos HaTorah is also Doraisa? Shenema kishem Hashem ekra v'goyd lelekeinu. Kishem Hashem ekra v'goyd lelekeinu is the pasuk that tells us that Brachos HaTorah seems to also be a Doraisa. Well, we know that Brachos HaTorah is one of the most important brachas that we make, because the second base of Mikdash, as we know, the first base of Mikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. And the second Beit HaMikdash, the Gemara Brachos tells us that they couldn't figure out why the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Le Pershua, and the Chachamim v'le Pershua, the Nevi'im v'le Pershua, Ad she Pershua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to come and say, Ala she Ozvu es Tirasi, and Omri Yehuda Merav, Shalei Birchu Batera Tchila. So we know that Birchos HaTorah occupies a very central part of our lives, so much so that the second Beit HaMikdash was said to be destroyed because of that. So let's discuss the significance of this special bracha of Brachos HaTorah. So is it in fact a Doraisa? It would seem very clearly from the Gemara that we just read, Minayin Brachos HaTorah, Min HaTorah. It would very much seem to be that it's a Doraisa. Not only that, a few daf later, the Gemara also says, the only Elo Brachos HaMazon, Brachos HaTorah Minayin, Om Rabbi Shmuel, Kal v'Chomer, Al-Chai Yishom B'Varech, Al-Chai Olam Abo, Le'Kol Shekein. We know that Brachos HaMazon is absolutely a Doraisa. But that's a Chai Yishom, that's a temporary, that's for this world. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Kal v'Chomer, to make a bracha on something that's a Chai Olam, would also be a Doraisa. So from these two Gemaras, it would seem to be very clear that Brachos HaTorah is a Doraisa. And the Chinuch Taka Paskins that way, the Ramban, The problem is that in the Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, which is the template, the go-to Minyan HaMitzvos, the Rambam does not mention Birchas HaTorah at all. And all the Mepharshim speak about this, the Ramban specifically. How is it that if Birchas HaTorah is a Deoraisa, as it would seem to be mashma very clearly, very strongly from the Gemaras that we brought, why wouldn't the Rambam bring it? So, we're going to get back to this, but in short, what the Mepharshim explain is that according to the Rambam, he would still agree that Birchas HaTorah is potentially a Deoraisa. The reason why he doesn't count it in the Minyan HaMitzvos is because he includes it in the general din of Limud HaTorah. So Talmud Torah is a mitzvah, which is clearly a Deoraisa, and Birchas HaTorah is bolted onto that, and it's part and parcel of the same. So he doesn't count it in Minyan HaMitzvos, but could be he does consider it to be a Deoraisa. But again, many Mepharshim explain, the Ramban and the Chinuch, they seem to take on that because the Rambam left it out of his Minyan HaMitzvos, that the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah, even though it's mashed up from the Gemara quite clearly, Minyan HaTorah is not necessarily a Deoraisa. Now, what's first of all, let's just understand for a minute, what's nafka minna if Birchas HaTorah is a Deoraisa or a Derabanan? So, there's one clear nafka minna, which a Shagasera brings down, and that is, what happens if someone forgot to say Birchas HaTorah? So, once we've got a Sofuk, we know that Sofuk Deoraisa L'Chumra, once we're dealing with a Sofuk, then you'd be obligated, if one is not sure whether he said Birchas HaTorah, you'd be obligated to say it again, because Sofuk Deoraisa L'Chumra. Whereas if Birchas HaTorah is, as the Rambam seems to suggest, it's so to speak, only in Derabanan, the Nafkamina that would be that if one has a Sofuk, whether he actually said Birchas HaTorah, he wouldn't necessarily need to repeat Birchas HaTorah. And the Mishnah Berurah, very interestingly, brings the opinion of the Shagasaria, who passes like the Rambam that you shouldn't repeat it. But the Mishnah Berurah is very masupak. He says that it could be a das yochid, and how can we ignore the Rambam who seems to say it's a drabbanon? So Mishnah Berurah comes up. He paskins his the way he maneuvers through this is he says that ideally we should hear the bracha from someone else and be moitzi, just to be able to be yotza potentially the Rambam and the Shagasaria. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's the way to do it. So it could be, he does seem to lean towards the fact that it may not necessarily be a full out Deoraisa, because again, ideally the Mishnah Berurah says if you forget it, if it's a Sofuk, then you should hear it from someone else. Let's move a little bit to
what's the Mishnah Berurah say if he's on his own at home and he has a lot of people might see him? What's the Mishnah Berurah ask him then?
So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't address that case, but you, at that point, one can be soimach on the Shagasaria, or one can be soimach on the Rosh also, who says they don't have to. So it's a good question. Yesh ami lismoich. Okay, let's talk about the Birchas HaMitzvot again. So what kind of bracha is Birchas HaTorah? So the Rambam seems to suggest, when he starts off with the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, he says that Hamashkim Likra B'Torah Kodim Shikra Kriyas Shema Bim Kura Torah. You should obviously make sure to say Berachas HaTorah before you say Shema, before you learn any kind of Torah. B'Chol Yom Vayom Chayv Adon Levarash Shalish Berachas Elu. Every single day, a person is obligated to make these three brachas of Berachas HaTorah. V'Achkach Kurim Ma'at Medivri Torah. Following that, says the Rambam, he should immediately learn some Torah. So this seems to suggest that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaMitzvahs, because a bracha for a mitzvah needs to be made over l'asiyah, so you're right before you do the mitzvah. So from the fact that the Rambam says, once you make the bracha of Birchas HaTorah, you have to immediately learn, it would seem to be that you're making a bracha on the mitzvah, and therefore you have to immediately be mekayim that mitzvah. If it's not Birchas HaMitzvahs, you can make the bracha, you know, like we say, Matir Asurim, and you don't have to say Matir Asurim all day, every day, just because we're not tied up, right? So Birchas HaShvach, Birchas HaYidah, and therefore once a day would be okay. So from the fact that the Rambam seems to say that you've got to learn immediately after saying Birchas HaTorah, would seem to suggest that he holds it's a Birchas HaMitzvahs. And the Ramban, as we know, who clearly holds that it's a Deoraisa, he says actually very clearly that it's not a Birchas HaMitzvahs. The Ramban says that when we're saying Birchas HaTorah, this is in the Ramban's Minyan HaMitzvah, he says, Shenistavinu l'hoidosh l'shmo yisparach b'chol eish shenikra b'torah. We have to be give hoidah You have to be moedet HaKadosh Baruch Hu every time you say on this Hal Tova Gedola Shasei Manu that B'Sitoi Teresenu Eleinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this huge Tova. He gave us the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, and as a result of that, that caused us to have a Berachas HaTorah. It seems very clearly from the Ramban that Berachas HaTorah seems to be a Berachas HaTorah and Berachas HaShvach, as opposed to the Ramban who says that it seems to be a Berachas HaMitzvah. The Chinuch as well seems to go with the Ramban and says that it's a Berachas HaShvach. So is there a Nafka Mina where the Berachas HaTorah would be a Berachas HaShvach or a Berachas HaMitzvah? So the Rosh Paskins that if someone slept during the day, but he took a proper fixed sleep, he got undressed, he went in his bed, and he had a proper nap. In that case, says the Rosh, you'd be obligated to say Berachas HaTorah again. We don't paskin like that, but that's what the Rosh says. Tosa says that it's not considered a break, and you wouldn't be obligated to say Berachas HaTorah again. So it could be that the Rosh sees Berachas HaTorah as a Berachas HaMitzvah. And therefore, if you've got a suffolk, you've got to say the bracha again before you do the mitzvah. Whereas the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, seems to say that Berachas HaTorah is a Berachas HaShvach. You say it once a day, just like say Matah Asurim, where you see the ocean once every 30 days. You don't have to say it every time you see the ocean, once every 30 days, whatever it is. You Berachas HaShvach in the morning, you say once a day. Berachas HaShvach, Berachas HaDah, you say once a period, and your Yotzah for that period. So if Berachas HaTorah is a Berachas HaShvach, then if you take a break, you would not have to say Berachas HaTorah again. And this is what the Rabbeinu Tam says. So what is Berachas HaTorah? Is Berachas HaTorah Berachas HaMitzvah or Berachas HaShvach? So let's move on to another interesting set of brachas and see if we can gain some clarity. We're getting there. We're getting to the differences in the brachas. Very good. Right. There's multiple brachas, and we're going to get to that momentarily. Okay. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kuf Lamed Zayin on base. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamol Oimer, someone who does the mitzvah of Mila, Hamol Oimer Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Tzivonu Al Hamila. Person who actually does the mitzvah of bris, who removes the orla, he said, "Shekach Zorim says Zivanu Al Hamila." Avihaben, the father of the baby, says, "Shekach Zorim says Zivanu Lachnisoi Bivrisa Shel Avraham Avinu." He makes a separate bracha of Lachnisoi Bivrisa Shel Avraham Avinu. So, what are these two brachas, and why do we require two brachas at all? So, the Gemara in Pesachim addresses the lashon of these brachas, which should give us some insight. The bracha that the father says, according to the Gemara, is lehachnisay b'vrisah shel Avraham Avinu. He should be bringing his son lehachnisay to bring my son in to the bris of Avraham Avinu. So the Gemara in Pesachim says, talking about the mitzvah of bir chometz, Amr Rav Yehuda Boidik Tzarech Sheyivarech. Someone who does bedikas chometz needs to make a bracha. Ma'am mavarech papi amim mishmei derava levayer chometz. The bracha to make is levayer chometz. Papa Oma Mishmei Derava Al Bir Chometz. You don't make Levayer, you make Al Bir Chometz. The Gemara goes on to explain, but Levayer, if someone would say Levayer like the first man, the Oma, Kulam Lo Pligi Devadai Lehabo Mashma. It's clearly going on something that's going to happen in the future. Lehabo. When someone says Levayer, it's to do that. Levayer, I'm going to do that bit. It's going on. It's going Lehabo. Ki Pligi. When could there be a Machlekas? But Al Bir. But Al Bir. Masav Meikara Mashma. Machlokes would be with al biur. But when the lashon is lehabo or lehachnisoi or levayer, kula alma lo pligi, that's lehabo mashma. And Tosfos says, but levayer, Tosfos says mashma. Mikan hoya matzrich Rashbam. Because of this Gemara, the Rashbam said that people are obligated lifnei hamila to say the bracha of lehachnisoi. You must say the bracha before the mitzvah of Mila. Dila acha Mila, because if you're saying the bracha after the Mila, yeshake bebrachos, it sounds like you're saying something that's incorrect. You're saying, lehachnisa, I'm going to bring my son into the bris, and if you're saying it after, you've already done that. So if lehachnisa is lehabam mashma, it would seem to be yeshake bebrachos. That's what the Rashbam says. V'oid, two reasons why you'd have to say it before. First of all, it seems like you're not saying something that's correct. As we mentioned, if you're doing a mitzvah, you've got to say the bracha oivelas yosi before you do the mitzvah. So for this reason, says the Rashbam, the father needs to say the bracha of lachnisoi before doing the milah. Sorry? Hold on. Okay. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. And Rabbeinu Tam says, afagav lachnisoi mashmal habo, even though taka lachnisoi is mashmal habo, says Rabbeinu Tam, loy kosher. It's not a problem, and you should do it after. Why? The loy al zois hanase achshav mevorech. He's not making the brocha on the mila that's just happened. Ela mishvach umoide lakadosh baruch hu shetzivonu al hamila. He's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general for the opportunity that he's able to be machnes his son into the Brit. He's not making it on the action that's about to come. So he's not saying lach nisoy that I'm about to accomplish a milah. He's saying in general. So therefore, it's not mashma that it doesn't look like he's saying something that's incorrect like the Rashbam, because he's not speaking about that specific milah. And how about the second issue of it being over lasiyasa? He says ein tzarach levarach over lasiyasa. That's also not a problem, says Rabbeinu Tam. The issue of Oivel HaSiyosin is only when that person is making the bracha. When the person who's doing the mitzvah, the person who's going to accomplish that Maisa mitzvah, he needs to say it directly before. Avo Kishim Mavarech Acher, and someone else is making the bracha, i.e. the father in this case, not the one who's doing the bris. If the father is the one who's doing the bris, it would be different. But in a typical case, when the moil is doing the Maisa mitzvah and the father saying Lach Nisoy, then this issue of Oivel HaSiyosin wouldn't be a problem. Shari Bircha say it right. So,
according to Rabbeinu Tam, if
the Av is doing the Mila, then...
He could make one bracha before, one bracha after.
Correct. Right. Now, let's just bring a quick Rambam. But actually, before we do that, it would seem to be from this Tosfos that these two brachas are, one is a brachas HaMitzvahs and one is a brachas HaShvach. The moel who's doing the mitzvah of the milah, he's the one who says ala milah, and that's a brachas HaMitzvahs. And very clearly, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, this second bracha of lach nisoy is a brachas HaShvach. As he says, he's not making the bracha on this specific milah, ela mishvach umoid lakash baruch shetzivonu ala milah in general. So the second bracha of lach nisoy is a brachas HaShvach. So therefore, that's why potentially you'd need two brachas. First bracha is a brachas HaMitzvah, second bracha is a brachas HaShvach. However, according to the Rashbam, who says, no, it's over lasiyosoy, and you've got to say it before, it's clearly a brachas HaMitzvah. So that's why you have to say it before, and it's over lasiyosoy. There's no question it's a brachas HaMitzvahs. So if lach nisoy is a brachas HaMitzvahs and ala milah is a brachas HaMitzvahs, why do you need two brachas? When the Rambam brings down these halachas, he says, Hamal mevorech, kodim sheyomol, and like the Gemara says, v'avi ha-ben mevorech bracha acheres. Okay, and then the Rambam continues, Lefichach, im ein shom oviv, if the father's not there, this comes to address also what was raised before. The Rambam paskens, if the father is not there, ein mevarchin acharei ha-bracha zu, you don't make this bracha of lach nisoy. Then he goes on to say, v'yesh mi shoheres she'ivorchu, v'ein roi lasis kein. According to the Rambam, if the father's not there, then there's no bracha of lach nisoy. The Ravid right away disagrees, and he says, no, of course you have to make that bracha of lach nisoy. And if the father's not there, he says, someone else made the nagu etzleinu shasandik mavarech. Absolutely, even if the father's not there, you do make the bracha of lach nisoy, says the Ravid. The question is, who makes it? So what's in the kinnat machlokes here between the Rambam and the Ravid in whether you make the bracha of lach nisoy if the father's not there? So Reb Chaim has a famous chakira. He poses this question when it comes to bris milah, and he says, "What's the core mitzvah of bris milah? What's the essence of a bris milah? Is it a maisa mitzvah, or is it a matona? So what does he mean? What Reb Chaim is asking is, on one hand, bris milah can be seen as a maisa mitzvah, right? It says in the pasuk, unamaltem es basar lasoi, you need to do the mitzvah, the action of bris milah, remove the basar or laschem, which is very clearly a mitzvah, an action that you have to do. The next pasuk though says, v'hoi ala ois bris b'niyah b'minechem. Bris is an ois. Bris is a covenant between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and where a child is, or where a person is before they have a bris, and where they are after they have a bris, are on two completely separate places. It happens to be there's a maisa bris between them, but there's a pre-bris state that a baby or a person is in, and there's a post-bris state. And we know, obviously, the nafkamin would be eating a korban pesach or many other nafkamin. If someone is an oral and if someone's not an oral, there's no question. There's major nafkamin if someone's an oral and if someone is not. But Reb Chaim is asking, is that the critical component of a bris? Meaning, is it the status of that person before the bris versus after the bris, or is it the maisa of the mitzvah? There is obviously a mitzvah to remove the orla, but a cut off the orla, and that's the maisa mitzvah. What's the key over there? So, I saw that Reb Shneur Kotler brings down a very similar chakira, and he says, actually, there's two separate chalokim when it comes to a bris. There's the maisa mitzvah, obviously. There's the mitzvah of the action of removing the orla. But there's a separate maisa, and there's a separate mitzvah of this krisus bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? There's this, as we said, bris creates a certain status in a person, and there's that chelik as well. So, because we have two chalokim to a bris, we can perhaps understand why, even according to the Rashbam, who says that lachnisa is also a berachat mitzvah, right? But because there's two chalokim, one bracha is going on the mitzvah of the milah, the maisa mitzvah, and the other bracha is going on the krisus bris in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So they're both brachas and mitzvahs, but because they're going on two chalokim of the mitzvah, that's why you need two brachas. Now the question is, who's the obligation on to be kiris bris of someone? So when it comes to the milah, there's definitely the ikar chiyuv is on the father. There's no question. Now the question is, if the father's not there, what happens with the milah? So the Gemara goes through, it goes on the grandfather, and following that, it goes on Beis Din, and then it goes on the cities. Obviously, the maisa milah needs to happen. But how about the krisus bris? How about this entering into this bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who's that obligation on? So it seems to be on the father. Now, if the father's not there, is there an obligation, or is there a mitzvah of being machnis this child? Meaning, it's not a maisa, but it's an obligation. So does that fall onto anyone? So this seems to be what the Rambam and the Rav are arguing. The Rambam, who says, when the father's not there, then you don't make the bracha of lachnisa bris shel Avraham Avinu. That's because the mitzvah to be machnis the son into the bris is on the father. If the father's not there, then there's no obligation for anyone else to do that. It's only on the father. Therefore, you don't make the bracha of lachnisai. Whereas, according to the Rivet, he says, no, the mitzvah or the obligation of the bris is the same thing as the maisa mitzvah. And therefore, whoever's going to be there to do the maisa bris, if the father's not going to do it, they should also have the obligation. That seems to be the machloikas over there. And
don't you say the obligation is on the child?
In terms of the maisa mitzvah, possibly, but in terms of the krisus bris, that's only on the father. There's no obligation on anyone to do that. It's a status change that happens. Before, the child was not mal. Now the child is mal. He's upgraded his level. It's almost a non tangible upgrade, right? So 100%, when it comes to a maisa, if the father's not going to do it, we need to identify someone who's going to take over that maisa. So we give it to the father or the grandfather, the best thing. This upgrade in status almost happens automatically, right? But if it's a mitzvah, and as we just said, it's a chelik of the mitzvah, who's the obligation to make a bracha? It's going to be the father. But if the father's not there, it doesn't, obviously the child would still be mohel after, right? So it's the upgrade, it's the difference. The chelik of the mitzvah is the is on the father. Obviously, the child would still be mohel after. So that's the that's when it comes to the two brachas by a brit. So let's go back to our Birchas HaTorah. It goes back to what you mentioned here as well. Ultimately, by Birchas HaTorah, there's two brachas, right? There's the bracha of Lasek B'divrei Torah, and there's also the bracha of Asher Bachabonu. So what are these two mitzvahs speaking out? So if you read the bracha, Lasek B'divrei Torah seems to clearly be a Birchas HaMitzvahs. Someone has an obligation, Lasek B'divrei Torah, you need to engage in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and Lasek B'divrei Torah is that Birchas HaMitzvahs. But if you just read, even at first glance, the bracha of Asher Bachabonu, like you were saying, it's a Birchas HaShvach. Asher Bachabonu Mikolam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we appreciate the fact that you chose us, you gave us the Torah, you picked us out from all the other nations. It's a Birchas HaShvach. So in the same way that we've got these two brachas by Mila, one is identified as a brachas HaMitzvah, one is identified as a brachas HaShvach. The same thing, we've got these two brachas by Birchas HaTorah. One is a brachas HaMitzvah, the Lasek B'divrei Torah. The Asher Bachabonu is a brachas HaShvach. And that's why we have these two brachas. And ultimately, to answer our question before, so to speak, Birchas HaTorah is both the Birchas HaMitzvahs as well as being a Birchas HaShvach at the same time. And that's actually what Ramosha Feinstein paskens. He paskens that Asher Lasek B'divrei Torah is a Birchas HaMitzvahs and Asher Bachabonu is a Birchas HaShvach. So you're saying both of those by saying the entire unit of Birchas HaTorah, you're accomplishing a Birchas HaMitzvahs on the Mitzvah Talmud Torah and it's a Birchas HaShvach as well. Potentially, you could also say that this Birchas HaShvach is going on this bris that Klal Yisrael have with the Torah, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a relationship with Klal Yisrael through the Torah, and we're appreciating that, right? And that could be as much of a chaluk of the Shaykhs that we have to Torah as the limit of Torah itself. So that really concludes, but I would just like to add something very interestingly, seeing as we have one more minute, and that is, As we've said, the Birchas HaTorah has elements of Birchas HaTorah has elements of Birchas HaMitzvah and elements of Birchas HaShvach as well. We started off by saying that there's really three categories to mitzvahs: Birchas HaShvach, Birchas HaMitzvahs, and Birchas HaNenin. Chaim Soloveitchik has actually brought down a saying that Birchas HaTorah is actually a Birchas HaNenin, because it's a bracha on a benefit that we're having, and when we're learning Torah and we're connecting ourselves with that benefit, we enjoy, we have a cheshek and a geshmak in the Torah. Reb Chaim says it's actually a Birchas HaNenin, and he says it's not just a saying. He says if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, he says that the Shulchan Aruch says that women are obligated in Birchas HaTorah, and Reb Chaim says that women are never obligated in making women never make a bracha on a mitzvah that they're not obligated to do. Right? If women are obligated in a mitzvah, then they can make a bracha. If they're not obligated in a mitzvah, they don't make a bracha. And he said, women are not obligated in the mitzvah Talmud Torah. They can if they want, and obviously, for sure, the Gemara says the halakim of Torah that are shayach to them, but they're not obligated. So how can they make a bracha? Reb Chaim says because the brachas anenin, they don't have to be obligated. They get hana when they learn. So therefore, it's a brachas anenin. Therefore, that's why they have to make brachas HaTorah. So Reb Chaim said,
are you allowed to have the noah for the mitzvah?
Of course. Lavahon is nitnu, but of course you can have a side benefit. Learning is the ultimate hanor. So just to wrap up, Birchas HaTorah is probably one of the most unique mitzvahs in that it has elements of Birchas HaTorah. Sorry, Birchas HaMitzvahs, Birchas HaShvach, and potentially a contra time, even Birchas HaNenin as well. No, by the way, that's no different from what we're saying. It's not wrong.
That's what the camera says. We know. Sorry?
Just over the cake.